It is possibly the most important bilateral relationship of the 21st century. President Obama and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi rekindled their warm friendship during a three-day visit that began on Tuesday. There's a lunchtime ratification of the Paris Climate Change Agreement before the end of the year, an important step toward making the agreement binding. Agreements to cut hydrofluorocarbons, the chemical produced by air conditioners. And Prime Minister Modi addresses a joint meeting of Congress. Dr. Vishakha Desai, former president and CEO of the Asia Society and senior research scholar at SIPA at Columbia University, says the U.S. and India are, at this point, on an irreversible track of cooperation.
I think clearly for Barack Obama, what has been important is that Modi has been a very important part of his particular legacy to Asia and how to make India as an important part of how U.S. and India can come together towards this global kind of partnership, especially in the Asia-Pacific region. Having said that, for Modi, he is very determined to actually clear the red tape, change the corruption schedule, all of that stuff that we all have been very worried about as far as India is concerned. But it is important to recognize that while Modi has tried some of these things, he doesn't have the full majority in the upper house to make the kind of changes that he needs to make. There is also the other issues in India, which has to do with the social and the cultural climate under his regime. That also creates a problem for him globally.
Do you think there is a cultural link, a natural cultural link between the United States and India, the number of South Asians in the United States, whether they're Indians or Pakistanis, has grown significantly over the last 8 years? Does that help create a bond that really is inseparable?
There's no question that the Indian diaspora has been a very important part of this relationship. And that has been used by political leaders on both sides, especially in the Congress. But it also has to do with the fact that Barack Obama and before that, even President Bush had recognized that particular relationship. But let me also just say that we often feel that, you know, it has to do with the democratic values in both countries. Well, all those things were true even 30 years ago. It still didn't stop us from not being very friendly towards each other.
Speaking of that, it's always been the case that the relationship with India and the U.S. relationship with Pakistan has been muddled in a set of contradictions that are often very difficult to resolve from the outside, particularly during the George W. Bush administration. I'm sensing, though, that over the last 8 years, Pakistan has been on a declining profile in its relationship with the United States, and that India is on the ascendance. And is there a limit to how that would go, or does the U.S. have to recalibrate with Pakistan to keep a certain kind of balance?
I think today, as Ash Carter, the defense secretary, has recently said, and that is that we have many, many more interests with India and many more commonalities of where we want to go in the world with India than we do with Pakistan. And I think that the declining interest in Pakistan has partly to do with also how we're handling Afghanistan. Having said all of that, I think it is important to recognize that it's not as if we can completely not worry about Pakistan, because what happens in Pakistan in a domestic situation is still something of concern to us. And when we deal with anti-terrorist activities in the region, I think Pakistan is a very important partner for us to engage in. But I do think that there is far more at stake, just the sheer size of the Indian economy, India's own proactive proclivities today, especially under Prime Minister Modi, to play a more global role, really makes it possible for us in the U.S. to pay attention to India as a much more of a significant partner for us than it was perhaps 20 years ago.
Is there a tangible sense of Modi's relationship with Hillary Clinton? Do they have a track record? And what, if anything, is the supposition of what might happen with Donald Trump if he has electoral success?
Well, let's start with Secretary Clinton first. Secretary Clinton has a very long and deep relationship with India. When she first went to India in 1993 as a first lady, and then also as a Secretary of State many, many times. And she was the co-chair of the India caucus when she was in the Senate. She also has many South Asian Americans who have worked with her, continue to work with her. So she has deep bonds with the community and with the country. In terms of the personal connections between Secretary Clinton and Prime Minister Modi, we know that they have met several times, but is it a close relationship? Hard to tell. I suspect not, but I do think that in terms of the interest in the country, Secretary Clinton would be very much the part of continuation pattern with President Obama. If Trump were to be the next president, Indians are concerned, particularly because of his rhetoric on immigration and certain level of push that he has proposed in terms of a kind of racist rhetoric that a lot of South Asians in this country are very concerned about, but also because, particularly because of the immigration, the government officials are also concerned. Because remember, for India and Indians, H-1B visas, which are these temporary visas on which the tech workers from India come here, is a very important part of remittances for Indian economy. But of course, you know, Donald Trump has said very little about India in anything he has said, except for bashing of China and to some extent India as far as trade is concerned.
Dr. Vishakha Desai is a former president and CEO of the Asia Society. She's a senior research scholar at SIPA at Columbia University.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.